This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Louisiana Republican Senator David Vitter. Not only is his state, of course, the most affected to this point by the massive BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, but he's also a member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. We want to get his thoughts on the latest court decision regarding the Obama administration's moratorium on deep shore drilling in the Gulf of Mexico, as well as what the latest status of the cleanup is. And, Senator, it's always great to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg. Great to be with you.
Well, you've expressed to me on a number of occasions how you oppose this moratorium, how it affected many jobs along the Gulf Coast. What we saw most recently now is a three-judge panel on the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit uphold the district court judge's decision to overturn the moratorium. So this is exactly what you wanted, but it doesn't look like the administration's about to give in here. What's the latest?
No, Greg, you're right. The good news is that the courts so far have rejected the president having proper authority to impose this drastic moratorium. The bad news is it's still a legal battle. The Fifth Circuit is going to hear the full case in a few weeks. This was the administration asking for an emergency stay to get the moratorium put in place while the appeal is held. And so because of all this uncertainty, no companies are rushing out to restart operations in the Gulf. So there is a de facto moratorium that is killing us economically. If this continues, it will cost us far more jobs than the oil itself.
From what I read in terms of the administration's response to all this, this is a quote from the New York Times article. A senior administration official said Thursday that the Interior Department would immediately issue a new moratorium if it lost the court case. So basically, despite what happens in the courts, we're just going to see the administration change the language a little bit and try again and try again and try again?
Unfortunately, I think that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to essentially thumb their nose at the courts and change the language and try to have a de facto moratorium just through all this legal wrangling. So even if our side wins in court, they're going to keep it up and have a de facto moratorium. That's also what's happening in shallow water right now. They say there's no shallow water moratorium. However, no new permit has been issued since the Deepwater Horizon incident because of all of the uncertainty about their new safety regulation. Again, the bottom line, Greg, is that this is killing us economically, hurting us if this continues more than the oil itself economically.
What kind of timeline are you hearing from energy companies about how long they're willing to wait this out before they start setting up shop elsewhere?
I think it's going to be an ongoing issue of rigs moving out of the Gulf. I believe four major deepwater drilling rigs have moved out already. They're going elsewhere. I'm afraid that's going to be a steady stream until we have clear action ending the moratorium, and that's what we're all concerned about.
We're on day 80-something of this oil spill.
Yeah.
Does that mean we're halfway through this moratorium, or how does the administration conduct its math on this?
No, unfortunately, it doesn't. They have tied the moratorium to the president's commission that he appointed coming up with recommendations following the Deepwater Horizon incident. Although the general time frame for that is 6 months, that's not set in stone. And in fact, they don't seem to have any sense of urgency about them. They're not even meeting for the first time until mid-July. So they're only meeting for the first time 4 or 6 weeks after the president first talked about this commission. And again, that complete lack of a sense of urgency is really frustrating.
In terms of where the cleanup process goes from here, we know that several thousand barrels a day are being captured, but that's just a fraction of what's still coming out of the Deepwater Horizon rig. What's the latest in terms of how you would assess the conditions of your state's coastline in particular and the overall environmental impact of this?
It's a huge ongoing negative impact, Greg. It's like a whole new major oil spill every day. In terms of volumes, that's literally what we're facing. If there's any good news, it's that BP has pushed up the target date for the relief wells to close in the flow, but you know, we'll see if that happens.
Senator, in terms of the federal response, obviously you mentioned your frustration with the lack of any sort of urgency for this commission to meet. What about greater responsiveness from the various government agencies? We've talked about a confusing chain of command in the past, slow response to various requests from your governor and other officials along the coastline. Has that improved at all?
If it's improved any place, Greg, it's been very marginal on a few specific issues. It has not improved across the board. We continue to have a lack of sense of urgency from administration officials. We continue to have no clear military-style chain of command, and just not the number of assets that we need in terms of skimmers, other boats, and booms.
One of the things that Governor Jindal said, in recent days, is that the shrimping industry is basically done. I don't know if he meant for this year or perhaps potentially long-term here, and he's saying tourism's affected. What's been the economic impact to date, as you can see it right now?
Well, it's been huge. It started on the fisheries side, shrimpers, oystermen, fishermen. It expanded to some tourism, and that's continuing to expand, unfortunately. And now, on top of that, is this moratorium, and that virtually doubles the negative impact overnight. So it's just been mushrooming. You know, when you put together tourism, seafood, and oil and gas, you've just defined about 80% of the South Louisiana economy. All of that's being killed.
Now, Senator, one of the other things you and I talked about just a few weeks ago was your effort to make sure the government was responding as effectively as possible to the threat that this oil spill is presenting to wildlife. What can you update us on that front?
Again, it's hit and miss. We're trying to get more assets, more relief in terms of oil, birds, and other things. That we are expanding the triage center where these birds are brought so they can take care of a whole lot more wildlife, because that impact is mushrooming. That is expanding and moving inland during hurricane season. So I think there's a little bit of improvement there, but I still don't think enough people and assets are going out looking for this affected wildlife.
Finally, back to the issue we started on in our last 60 seconds here, Senator. If, in fact, the White House basically defies the will of these courts and this moratorium extends indefinitely, what do you see as not only the long-term impact on your economy and those jobs, which could potentially be long gone by the time the moratorium is ever lifted, but what does it say about how this might be fitting into the president's long-term energy policy?
Well, Greg, I really think it comes down to this. Is this event going to do to domestic oil and gas what Three Mile Island did to the domestic nuclear industry? Three Mile Island shut our nuclear energy prospects down for 30 years. And the question is the Obama administration going to use or allow this event to do the same for domestic energy that we desperately need?
A lot to answer. We'll see how it develops here, especially with this latest legal fight over the moratorium. Senator, thank you very much for your time, as always.
Thanks, Greg. Bye.
Louisiana Senator David Vitter joining us from Louisiana. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.